Thanks, Vince, for reading those verses. Well, it is a pleasure to be here. It's been great to be here today and just to be entering into worship with you. I was leading the band's spiritual meeting before this meeting, just this morning, with some of the guys and the ladies as well. And that was just a good time, just to be together, to see what God has to say to us. We're actually talking about listening this morning and what God's voice and what he has to say to us. And today, hopefully, when we open the scriptures, it's actually God's word talking into our lives. And as we open God's word today in Romans and the first couple of verses in particular, hopefully God will say something to us each today. He certainly did that to me again as I read this particular passage, which is familiar to a lot of us, this Romans 12 chapter. And we're going to have a look about really what transformation is all about for us today in a little bit more deeper detail than the children's story. Sorry to disappoint you. Well, I heard a story about Joel Osteen. He tells a story about a middle-aged woman, you might have heard of this, who had a heart attack. And she went onto the operating table and she thought this was her last. So she actually said to God in a prayer, "Is this it, God?" And God actually said to her, "No, you've actually got another 40 years. She said, "Wonderful, wow, that's a great message." So, when she eventually, had the operation, everything went well and was starting to recuperate, she thought she'd stay in the hospital a little bit longer. And she thought she'd have a bit of a makeover. So she had a facelift, she had a bit of a tummy tuck, she had some liposuction and a few other things. And so after that was all completed, she walked out of the hospital, she got hit by a car, and she died. So she asked the question of God, "God, I thought you said that I had another 40 years. And his response was, "Sorry, I did not recognize you." Well, we're talking about transformation today. And as I said in the children's time, transformation is just not about transformation skin deep. Transformation is about what God does in and through us internally, which actually shows on the outside. It's not outside in, but inside out. And transformation is all about that. I think Molly said actually about the butterfly change. That's exactly right. In the Greek, that's what it actually talks about. That's an example of that. So you might make a good Greek scholar in the future, Molly. Who knows what'll happen for the future for you. But that's absolutely right. It's a change that takes place from within, that actually people see from without that change, that transformation. Now, I want you to take your Bibles again. We're going to have a look at Romans chapter 12 and just the first two verses. You might even just put that up again, John, if you could. Up there, wonderful. Never let me down, these guys. Right, what does it say? "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Transformation takes place from the inside out. Now, a lot of you know a little bit about my background. You know, my father was an alcoholic, and there was one stage when I was a teenager, it was around about 13 or 14, that I thought things were going to change in our household. My father gave up drinking. That's a great thing, isn't it? When someone gives up drinking. But as a teenager, I thought the world was going to change when it had happened, and I was a little bit naive. And what happened was he just became a dry drunk. So you can actually give up things, but not the transformation that takes place inside. And he was the same person. Is that just he gave up something? So we're talking something that's a lot deeper than that. It's not giving up something. Actually, the Christian life is actually what you start doing, not what you stop doing. the Christian life is more about that. But transformation, what is this actually all about? And I want us to take a little bit of a journey this morning. It's about 12, Romans chapter 12, but it's actually about the person behind it, the person who wrote that. And what right, we would ask, did Paul have to write those words to the Roman church? It encouraged them to be transformed. Now, I've learned over the years, you don't ask somebody something you haven't done yourself. And you can't express a story of transformation if you haven't been transformed yourself. So for Paul, what was the transformation that was taking place or did take place in his life that he actually can communicate it to others? And I think we get a little bit of an idea when we actually see his story. And we ask the question, what was Paul's story? Now, some of you know Paul's story. Some of Paul's story you can relate to very, very well. Before he was a Christian, he went out fervently believing that God had laid on his life to do away with these Christian followers. He wanted to stop this message that was going forward. And he wanted to just destroy everybody that came or even looked like they were following Jesus Christ. And he was determined in his passion and his direction in his life to do that. And in a sense, was successful. But it was only very short term, wasn't it? And you and I are standing here today because the gospel of Jesus Christ has flourished through all the generations, and you and I stand in this place as part of that. And we thank Paul and his life of transformation to spread the gospel, as well as the disciples in the early church. So let's have a look at Paul. What was it about Paul that gave him the credential to say to us today even, through his word, be transformed? Well, I think first and foremost, it was about Paul's experience of God. Now, I know that some experience in our life can be quite damaging. And I've heard lots of stories about events that have taken place in people's lives that have been quite crushing. And the effects of it still affect them today. And might have happened years ago. So understanding not all experiences, general experiences lift you up. They come, sometimes can destroy you. But Paul's experience was that there was an incredible transformation that took place in his life. There was actually an intervention of God in his life. And as he was determined to go out and kill Christians and put them in jail, it was on the Damascus Road, as a lot of you know, and God intervened. Right, Jesus Christ came to him and confronted Paul and in a sense said, enough is enough, and Paul, I have another plan for you. And there was a confrontation that took place, and in the Greek words it talked about this metanoia experience. In other words, if you're going in one direction, God can intervene in your life, and for Paul it was actually then turning around and going the other way. There's another word in the scriptures that talk about repentance. Repentance is the same. If you're going one direction and you repent, you actually don't go off to the left or to the right. You actually turn around and you go the opposite direction. And for Paul, he had this experience of God, Jesus Christ, coming into his life. He had this metanoia experience that he totally changed his life around. He was incredibly transformed in his life. And this was his experience. Now, I don't know if you've had that experience at all, whether through circumstances, people, you've read God's word, but God has somehow has intervened in your life and you've had a turnaround. And you look back now and you say, thank God. I do. I think of what life could have been if God didn't intervene in my life. Probably still surfing on the beach at Wollongong. It's not a bad thought, actually. But what life could have been. And here we are standing here today in front of you. And years gone by. But here's his transformation. And if you read in Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 30, it's when he, Paul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. I love that passage because it says that God used what Paul had. He was still bold before he was a Christian, but now he's bold in another way. So God takes those strengths and turns them around and uses them for God's will. And for Paul, he was still Paul in a sense. As they looked at him, the disciples looked at him, he was the same Paul. It was no different. But Barnabas, being a little bit cluier, went and actually found out who Paul was and what was the transformation that took place in his life, and found out that Paul was a transformed person. He was changed. He wasn't the person the disciples had heard about. But God had intervened in his life, and he had experience of God that transformed his life. And if we've had that experience, we all say thank God for that, don't we? We do. Because it's only God who makes the difference in our life. So it's just for Paul, this experience, it changed from the inside out. His motives, his attitudes, the way he looked at life was different because he had an intervention of God. And that ultimately showed on the outside, because he was still bold, he was still passionate, but he preached in the name of the Lord, not against it. And we thank God for Paul's experience in that way. I think the man behind Romans 12 also, not only in experience, but he experienced forgiveness. And there's a passage in Acts 26 when there was a testimony, Paul's testimony with King Agrippa. And it says, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant, and as a witness of that, you may be seen or be seen of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Paul's transformation came through this experience of forgiveness. Now, there's a quote from a book I love called True Faced, and this is the quote. Forgiveness has an order. We must initiate the vertical transaction with God before we move into the horizontal action with others. Interesting, isn't it? Vertical transaction with God, horizontal transaction with others. Interesting, the cross actually makes the difference, doesn't it? Up and down. And Paul had this experience. Just imagine for a moment Paul's life. Pre-Christian, putting people in jail, pursuing Christians, killing Christians, going back to the same groups of people, talking about the love and grace of God. It's a fair change there, isn't there? No wonder some people were challenged by whether Paul was changed or not. But they found out that he was, because he had this deep forgiveness they experienced of Jesus Christ. But not only his experience of Jesus, but actually his forgiveness of himself in that. Now, I might have told this story before, but I love the story about Dicko and Paulini on Australian Idol. And you pick up the picture of Paulini in the golden dress. Some of you who've watched those types of shows know that story. And Dicko actually said to her, you need to lose a few more pounds or dress more appropriately. Now, men, how do you think that would go down? Not a good move? It wasn't for Dicko. And those who know the story, the whole crowd booed Dicko. They said they were throwing things at him. He said even that someone spat at him as he walked out of the building. He got home and his wife said, you're sleeping on the couch tonight. Which probably wasn't unusual in that sense for her to say that. So Dicko had to have a real good look at himself. And what he did was, he went to Paulini ultimately and said to Paulini, will you forgive me? And Paulini, being Paulini, said, of course I do. I've moved on. And she had moved on from that experience. But Dicko hadn't. And the phrase that Dicko said was that it was easier for Paulini to forgive me, but it took a lot longer for me to forgive myself. And Paulini had moved on. And Dicko was still there. Years later, still there. And he had to come to a point, which he did, of forgiving himself. And I think for Paul, and it might be for you and you today, me for today, it might be less about God forgiving us, but more about us forgiving ourselves. And I think for Paul, when he said, be transformed, he had an intervention of God, had an experience of God, but he understood this deeper transformational life of forgiveness. That he could be complete, he could be free, he could experience the joy of the Spirit, the whole fruit of the Spirit, which is, you know, outlined for us there in the Scriptures. He could have a complete free life because he'd settle this one with God, with the vertical, and he'd settle this one with the horizontal. And he did have to go, I suppose, and ask people, the widows, the fatherless children, for forgiveness when he talked about the grace and love of God in Jesus. But this was a transformational life. This is the depth that transformation can take place when God's Holy Spirit does his work in us. And what was the ultimate outcome? Well, let's go back to Romans 12 then, right? We've looked at the man behind this writing. Right? He talks about this transformational life. He talks about this experience or this intervention of God that takes place, this forgiveness that's very, very deep. And he gets right with God. He gets right with others. And transformation takes place. And because of that, you'll see there in the second part, verse 2 of Romans 12, then, when you have an intervention of God, when you experience forgiveness, when you have a deep transformation of God, then and only then will you be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. This is the life of transformation. This is a life of completeness. This is a life of outcome that God wants for us. A transformation, a change from within to without. And people will know that. People will see that. And as we go from this place, which is our mission field, as we tell our story, as people look at us but actually then get to know us, they'll get that story and they'll pick up that story of transformation in our own life, of experience and of forgiveness. May that be the case for us all today and always.